This is Melinda Hale, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Two hearts wanna beat as one, but one walks to a different drum. They don't understand the feeling.
Hello there, I am Wesley Orion, and you are listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the podcast and radio show full of uplifting songs and the inspiring stories behind them. Through this show, I've been fortunate enough to interview artists that I've loved and admired since I was a kid, and whose music has had a major impact on creating the person I have become. Artists like En Vogue, Ryan Cabrera, and Toad the Wet Sprocket. And while it's true I haven't known the artist we're spotlighting this week long at all, I actually just discovered her music this summer, the strength of her spirit and the importance of her messages has already had a profound impact on my life, particularly in the climate our country currently finds itself in. We're going to get deep into many of those messages in the next hour, ranging from depression and low self-esteem to racism and the need for social justice. But before we do that, I want to make sure I impress upon you just how great Melinda Hale is as a singer, as well as get into some of the amazing artists who've inspired her over the years. And while our chat gave me the opportunity to play some of my favorite classic tracks from Celine, Whitney, and Mariah, it's Melinda's music that I'm most excited to play for you. So with that in mind, I want to start the show with one of my personal favorite Melinda Hale tunes. Here she is with Blue Eyes.
Ain't it funny how you meet someone, then later on they're making your heart go crazy. I'm pretty sure it was the winter time, but when I laid eyes on you.
Hey Melinda, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
When I discovered your music, I was blown away. And then the more found out about who you were and everything you're involved in, I just knew I had to feature you on my show.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited.
Well, I have to start with your ridiculously beautiful voice. Where does that come from?
Oh, you're so sweet. I actually grew up singing in church. Age-old story, I'm sure a lot of people say that. But I went to college for opera, actually, which is probably very rare in the pop world. But I wanted to be trained. I wanted to be able to do pop music for the rest of my life. So I went through a really rigorous program at Azusa Pacific University out here in California. And I studied opera for 4 years.
That explains a lot of the power in the voice.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you mentioned having that pop music influence. So I wanted to see who some of your musical inspirations were.
Gosh, growing up, My family were huge music people. So I grew up listening to Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey and Celine Dion and Stevie Wonder and Sam Cooke and a lot of those, you know, really big legends that everybody loves to listen to. But currently, a lot of my influences, it's kind of a wide range. I really love Audra McDonald, who is a Broadway singer, and I've always been obsessed with her voice and just her presence. And that's kind of where my thought of getting opera background training came from. I also really love Gavin DeGraw. He's kind of the number one artist for me as far as how he presents himself, the type of music he writes. Even though he's on a major label, he functions more like an independent artist. And I really love the relationships that he has with his fans. And I love kind of like the pop soul singer-songwriter aspect, the little rock edge that he adds to his music. So I'm a huge fan of him. And then, of course, I really love Sarah Bareilles because of everything she stands for. And she's a really incredible musician. And so my influences are kind of a wide range. I just love music. So I try to take from people that I love the most and create my own sound and my own message.
Oh, well, I definitely want to get into those messages. But before I do, you mentioned the pop trifecta of classic divas I play on my show all the time, Whitney, Mariah, and Celine.
Yeah.
So can you give me your favorite song from Whitney, from Mariah, and from Celine Dion?
Oh, wow. That's going to be a really hard one. Let me see. I think Mariah, there's two. I really love Butterfly, and I really love Always Be My Baby. Those are two of my favorite songs. And I know there are more of her mellow songs, but I really just love the lyrics and the melody of those songs. As far as Whitney goes, oh man, I could go on and on because I actually just made my husband watch The Bodyguard a couple days ago. And he was like, I can't believe we're watching this. But that to me is one of the best soundtracks of all time. I mean, it just has hit after hit after hit on that album. But I think people don't say this one that often, but All the Man That I Need,
oh,
I think
that's
her vocal performance.
Favorite.
Oh my God, that song. Every time I hear that song, I'm like, she is just singing to the heavens on that one. So that's definitely one of my favorite Whitney songs. And I think Celine Dion, I really love the song that she sang for the Olympics, Power of the Dream, because I also think that that is just an incredibly well-written song that David Foster wrote, but her performance on it, it makes me cry every time I hear it. So it's really hard to pick, but I think that that's definitely the one for me.
Oh, you've made me so happy. I've been trying to get somebody to say All the Man I Need for years now. So,
really?
Yes.
I'm surprised that people don't say that, but it is such a good song. So I'm glad that we are connected in that.
I could probably do an entire additional episode just on the songs that both Melinda and I love. But if I have to cut it down to just a few, it's gonna have to be those epic 90s diva classics, kicking off a vocal powerhouse trifecta from three of my and Melinda's all-time favorite artists. This is Mariah Carey with Always Be My Baby. Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're spotlighting the music and spirit of the incredibly inspiring Melinda Hale, who, if you're not yet familiar with, I beg you to head to melindahale.com and rectify that immediately. That's MalindaHale.com. We just heard tracks from Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, and Celine Dion, three artists who've inspired Melinda, myself, and millions of others around the world. But now, it's time to really get into who Melinda Hale is, not just as an artist, but as a person. I usually try to interject between interview segments with my own personal nuggets of psychologically tinged wisdom and experience, but every single topic Melinda and I covered resulted in her expressing some of the most profound perspectives I've had the pleasure to share on this show. So I'm much happier to share her stories and the songs she's written about them, starting with an issue that is incredibly important to me, and I know to so many of you as well.
I'm actually really excited to play your music. There's so much meaning behind it, and I wanted to start with Real Love. As a gay man, you know, I really just connected with the lyrics about confusion, about how you feel.
Yeah.
But then how we all really need this hope that, you know, those feelings will work out. So talk to me about that song.
Yeah, so I did write that song for Pride Month and for marriage equality a couple of years ago. And I was inspired to write it when I was living in Chicago at the time. My husband was going to law school at University of Chicago, and I was attending a church called Broadway United Methodist Church. I've always been a liberal Christian, but I've been burned by the church and, you know, had, you know, my brothers and sisters who were a part of the LGBTQ community be burned by the church. And so I hadn't gone to church for at least 2 years up at that point. And I was just on a Google search and I found this church, and they were very loving, accepting, and affirming. And I was like, this is how church is supposed to be. People that love God, but just accept everyone for who they are and don't, you know, focus on what they view are their flaws or their sins, because they're not. You are human. God made you this way. And so I was inspired by that environment to write this song, because for me, I think you should be able to love whoever you want. And, you know, being in an interracial relationship, I completely understand how it feels to be judged because of someone you loved. And even though now interracial marriage is legal and gay marriage is legal, we still have to face this discrimination. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I wouldn't have even been able to marry my husband. So to know what that struggle feels like, and to know that that is a privilege afforded to me, but still a very new privilege, I wanted to kind of show camaraderie in that sense with the LGBT community. So that's why I wrote this song.
Well, thank you. It's such an important parallel to make, but it's the allies that just mean so much to me, because, you know, obviously when you want to get married, people look at it as, well, that person just wants what they want. But, you know, when family and friends and supporters step up and go, no, we think everybody should have this, that's when you see change. So thank you personally for that.
Absolutely. Of course. Of course.
Sweeter than anything. And then you also founded the Me Too campaign, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so the Me Too campaign really was to show the parallel between interracial relationships and same-sex relationships, because we all just want to be with who we love. And so I started the campaign a few years ago, and we've done photo shoots. I've had it on hold a little bit just because I've been so busy, like, with performing and everything, but definitely going to be picking it up again this year. Yeah, we featured several couples, and they've told their stories, how they met, any discrimination that they faced, and we just showcase what love is. And that's the whole point. And the reason I called it Me Too is because in my experience, when I've been, you know, with my husband, or by myself rather, and I've seen another African-American female be with a white male, I can kind of see this, you know, hesitance on their face. But I just want to tell them, like, no, me too. Like, I'm in a relationship like that too. It's okay. Like, I'm not judging you, because I know we worry sometimes that people are judging us, like, oh, is this okay with the Black community? Is this okay with the white community? How are people feeling this? So I wanted people to know that when you have that moment where you're looking and wondering, like, oh, are they okay with this? But they might be thinking, oh, me too. Like, that's what I'm living also. It's nice to see that I'm not alone. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, it's difficult when you're questioning your own love and wondering how people will react. But then I know you've also been a part of CoverGirl Is My Black Is Beautiful campaign in terms of looking inward and loving yourself. So why is that message so important to you?
That message is so important to me because growing up, I grew up in Santa Barbara. So you could imagine, if you know anything about Santa Barbara, it's a very white community. And I felt very alone. I felt like I didn't really have anyone to look up to. I didn't really know what my worth and my beauty was. And even going into this audition for this campaign, I felt a little uncomfortable because I, being a dark-skinned Black woman, I definitely felt like, oh, they're going to pick somebody light-skinned or somebody that has really beautiful hair, you know. And I just went in not really thinking about it. But the fact that I kind of, who I am as a human, who I am as a Black woman, was affirmed just in getting this campaign and being able to encourage other dark-skinned women specifically that they are beautiful and they are worth something really meant so much to me. And I love that Procter & Gamble and, you know, CoverGirl wanted to create this campaign, and I think it encouraged a lot of Black women just to know that they're self-worth, know that they're beautiful. So it was really great. I got to be the face of Queen Latifah's line for CoverGirl for a couple years, and it was really wonderful. And the pictures are still out there, and I know that they're going to be continuing the campaign and having different ambassadors, but adding more real-world people to the My Black is Beautiful campaign. So it's really, really a great message to send, because I think Black women need to feel that they do have beauty and they are worth something in this world.
Okay, I know I said I wasn't going to interject, but I'm only going to do so briefly, and only because Melinda's words here reminded me so much of a song I absolutely love and that I just can't pass up the opportunity to play for you right now, with a powerful anthem that speaks directly to Melinda's words on the importance of loving ourselves. This is India Arie featuring Pink with I Am Not My Hair.
No, no, I am not my hair. I am not the skin. I am the soul.
It's great to see music and whatever platform you have inspire people to really look inward and love themselves and, you know, kind of be the best version of yourself you can be. But, you know, I also wanted to talk to you about We Run, because as important as it is to talk about all the positivity we can create, we just live in this society right now with an urgent problem on how we treat people based on their race. So
yeah,
I wanted you to talk about We Run and what that means to you.
Unfortunately, to say it was a very easy song to write.
Yeah.
And I hate that it was an easy song to write. I wrote it last summer and I released a music video that got so much attention, and I was so happy because I wanted people to hear how the Black community was feeling, but in a different way. And that's what I think the great thing about music is that you can get people to listen without feeling like you're preaching or arguing with them. And, you know, I definitely have gotten in arguments on social media, but I think that using music to get a message out is really the strongest and best way possible. So yeah, I wrote the song last July, and I can't remember after what incident was kind of my breaking point, but I sat down at the piano and I just started writing and singing just how I felt. And I think vulnerability is a huge thing in music as well. And so every show I actually end with We Run. The feeling in the audience is very, very deep and very somber, but I love getting people to think. And the amount of people that come up to me and thank me for sharing my viewpoint in that way is really, really incredible. And I think, you know, it's easy to say, you know, Black Lives Matter and put the hashtag, but it really is more than just a hashtag. It is a feeling. It is something that people are living. And I think if people are able to hear this song and listen to the words, they will truly understand what Black Lives Matter is supposed to be. And I'm not saying that I speak for the entire Black community, but this is my truth, and this is what I've lived and what I've witnessed. And I know that a lot of people do agree with the feelings that I put into this song. So I'm very happy to share this song with people rather than trying to argue with them and plead my case. I just say, hey, can you listen to this and then come back to me and tell me what you think? And it's been very humbling and rewarding experience to see that that has opened people's eyes, because music is just a universal language and a great way to get people to listen.
But I still don't know why we're
I have such an admiration for artists like yourself who are able to be really vulnerable and talk about those things. I mean, Stand is one of the most inspiring songs I have ever heard.
Oh, thank you so much.
We have to feel good about ourselves. We have to understand what the problems are and how people feel. But I think so many of us know there's a problem. We want to get involved, but there's something that prevents us from doing so. So what would you say to someone who is hesitant to voice how they feel on these issues and to create positive action?
You know, it took me a while to even be vocal. And I would say that no matter what you do, you're going to be met with resistance in some way, shape, or form. There's not going to be everybody that agrees with you. You are always going to find someone that disagrees with you. But if you are standing in your truth and standing up for what you believe in, then you are doing what you are supposed to do. You are making your mark, you are making your difference, and you are doing what's right. I've been met with plenty of vitriol. I've been met with racist remarks. I've been called names. But I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to do, because I know that it's right. I'm standing up for what's right. So no matter what resistance you meet, you have to use your voice to speak out. You have to, because you never know if what you say may change the heart of one person or 20 people. So, and if you stay quiet, you won't change the hearts of anybody.
Oh, 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 to stand for something. Oh, oh, something bigger than me. You never could walk on water. You never could move a mountain or fly across the sky.
I was reading about Mogamind. And I came across the words love, gratitude, and visualization. Talk about what those words mean to you and how you strive to achieve them personally.
I always try to meet everybody with love, no matter what the situation is. Even if I disagree with them, I think just my background, how I was raised by my parents, just a very loving household. I think love is so important. And it's such a simple concept that I feel like people run away from, because everybody either wants to be angry or that they would rather be right, when you should really just choose to love the person. We can disagree and still love each other. I really do think that that's possible. God is love to me, and that's how I try to live my life, by loving people, by being generous, by being giving, by being understanding. I think with gratitude, it's easy to not be grateful for the things that you have, even if it's something small. I mean, my husband and I, we try to do gratitude readings, you know, at night. And yeah, it's hard. Sometimes we forget, but I'm just grateful to be able to live my dreams. And I try to pay it forward no matter where I am in my career. I'm not where I want to be, but I realize that I have achieved a certain level of success. And I try to always pay it forward, because I am grateful for where I am. And even going back to, you know, Black Lives, I realize that in the scope of Black Lives, I have lived a pretty privileged life. So if I can give back in any way because of the life that I've lived, I want to be able to do that. So I'm really grateful for the opportunities that I've been blessed with. I appreciate when people like you are able to find my music and see the messages that I'm trying to convey and see the life that I'm trying to live. And I'm just appreciative of relationships that I have, and again, the opportunities. And the people that created Mogamind are two of my very close friends that lived in Chicago. They live in Wisconsin now, and they are just beautiful human beings that exude those traits on a daily basis. And so I was really honored that they asked me to be a part of their vision and their company.
I'm kind of like a perfectionist. Like I always want to achieve the next thing. So I forget to be grateful and I forget some of the things that I really try to. So, you know, I've been really fortunate to interview some people who I've just adored my entire life, but I am so inspired by you personally. And I'm just
thank you.
Honored to share who you are on my show. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. And we'll keep this new friendship going.
I would love that so much.
Before I say anything else, I want to take a minute to sincerely thank Melinda Hale, not just for taking the time to chat with me for the show, and not just for writing and singing some of the most inspiring songs I've ever heard. Melinda is a very visible presence on social media, and it's rare that a day goes by where she doesn't say or share something that makes me stop and think how I can be a better person and have a positive impact on the world. In that regard, she's been my personal positivity role model for the last few months and has given me a much-needed message on many a difficult day. So thank you, Melinda, for all the ways in which you shine your light on the world. And thanks to each and every one of you for listening to the show and bringing some positivity into my life as well. For more on Melinda Hale and all of her upcoming projects, you can head to melindahale.com. And for more inspiring music and interviews with other great artists like Melinda, don't forget to head on over to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music.com. We've got time for one more track, and so I will happily leave you with Melinda's latest single, which also happens to be one of her most beautiful and inspiring. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Surprise Yourself, this is Melinda Hale.